The heartbreaking plight of refugees fleeing violence and war is a global concern. Even as many nations look for ways to help, there's also the question of how to handle large influxes of desperate people. Here in the United States, the issue is highly politicized, with rhetoric about the southern border guaranteed to score points with some constituencies. In Europe, the unprecedented number of refugees from Syria and other war-torn nations has inspired the same fears and arguments. Now, an additional layer has been added to the debate as Poland, Slovakia, and the Czech Republic say they'll meet their European Union-mandated responsibility to take in some refugees as long as those refugees are Christian. Catherine Osborne is director of the Shoulder to Shoulder campaign, an interfaith coalition working to end anti-Muslim sentiment, of which Interfaith Alliance is a proud member. Catherine, thanks for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much for having me here today.
You know, I can't help but think that while anti-Islamic bias in any forum is bad enough, it's even worse when you're talking about the helpless victims of war and violence. That's why this story is especially disturbing. The nations in question are pleading assimilation, as in because most of their populations are non-Muslim, the refugees would not, quote unquote, feel comfortable there. While that may play well in terms of domestic politics, what does it portend for the ongoing humanitarian crisis in Syria and elsewhere?
Well, there are over 4 million people in crisis, basically refugees registered right now with the UNHCR. And I mean, I think that the hugeness of this situation requires that all countries be on deck with a humanitarian response. But the fact is that this isn't being treated through a humanitarian frame. It's being treated through a security lens right now. And so, you know, people here in the U.S. in particular and elsewhere express a lot of concern about the impact of ISIS on the people of Syria, but then they paint Muslim Syrians fleeing from this horrific violence as national security threats rather than as human beings who are seeking refuge, freedom, and flourishing here in the U.S. and elsewhere. And the countries that are surrounding Syria have absorbed a huge number of Syrian refugees. I've been in Lebanon 3 times in the past few years. Most recently, I was there for a few weeks in July, and it's now estimated that over a quarter of Lebanon's population is Syrian refugees. And so this crisis is causing ripple effects in all of the countries surrounding it, but the problem is that this sort of prejudice and bigotry that we're seeing around the globe directed against Muslims is making it really challenging for other countries around the globe to be on deck in playing their part in responding to this humanitarian crisis. Yeah.
It's ironic, Catherine, that the Czech Republic in particular is making this argument since it is famous as one of the most secular societies in all of Europe. What are the ethical aspects of this that most concern you?
Well, you know, here in the U.S., Shoulder to Shoulder works with a number of faith-based partners who also have part of their work focusing on refugee resettlement and support. And they do this as part of their calling as people of faith to welcome the stranger, to help those in need. And I think that they're not able to do this as fully as they want to right now because of these sort of blockades of bringing Syrian refugees into the U.S. context, and we're seeing the same thing, as you mentioned, in Europe as well. And so it seems to me that what's really happening here is that people who want to live out their faith by welcoming strangers and helping those in need are actually being sort of prevented from doing so because of this bigotry and prejudice that is sort of disguised as national security sorts of concerns.
Security is one of those words that you can mention it and then you can get away with a whole lot of stuff that wasn't true.
Exactly. And I think you always have to ask, you know, security for whom? Because we're not talking about human security for the Syrians who are fleeing a situation of dire insecurity that most of us have never experienced. But the focus is more on national security for countries, particularly in the U.S. and Europe. And so when we talk about security, I think that, yeah, that term is thrown around and sort of clouds a lot of moral issues, but we always need to step back and ask, whose security is it that we're concerned about?
That's a really good point. Anti-refugee sentiment has been on the rise across Europe, even as record numbers of the victims of war and are expected to make their way to places like Germany this year. Who do you see doing successful work in the field of resettlement in this part of the world?
A huge number of them are faith-based organizations that work on refugee resettlement. We, you know, work with one organization in particular that we have partnered with on some of these issues here in the U.S. is HIAS, the Hebrew Immigration Aid Society, which was originally founded to help Jews escaping pogroms in Russia. And since then, they've been welcoming strangers from around the world, and they do a lot of really amazing work in Europe and in the U.S., helping those in need without having any sort of consideration of what, you know, community they're coming from. It doesn't matter. They're people in need, and they are there to help them. So that's one organization I would mention that's doing such great work. But there's so many other faith-based organizations and those that aren't faith-based doing refugee resettlement work in Europe and the U.S., but their ability to do their work is contingent upon the sort of political will in these countries in the U.S. and Europe to allow more refugees into the country. They can't do their work unless there are the refugees here to actually help.
Catherine, on this particular issue, the refugee issue, what's it like when you have a meeting of religions based in the United States talking about this subject?
You know, I think that there's a lot of common ground among the religious communities and religious leaders that I work with, that this is a crisis that as people of faith, we have to play a role in. We will look back at this crisis and just really regret, I think, not having made more effort to help the Syrians in need. And so I think that that's been the one encouraging thing, is that we have seen a lot of unity among the religious community in the United States around helping Syrian refugees. Mm-hmm. Now, to get the folks on the House Subcommittee on Homeland Security to see it that way is our challenge.
Yeah. The wars and the violence in foreign countries impacts refugees in a way that we see them coming to the United States. As politicians demonize undocumented immigrants, how does that kind of xenophobia spill over into our treatment of refugee issues in the House, in the Senate?
Well, I think it spills over a lot. You know, a lot of the same voices actually who are saying very negative things about undocumented immigrants are also the same people who are saying negative things about refugees and about Muslims more generally. And you know, this comes back to the way in which American Muslims who are not refugees have been treated also in the public rhetoric for the last decade. Anti-Muslim rhetoric and sentiment has been rising in the United States. And so we see this sort of overlap happening between the anti-immigrant folks, the anti-refugee folks, and the anti-Muslim folks, and they're actually sort of teaming up in many ways, in very specific ways too, through joint conferences and borrowing one another's talking points to create this culture of fear and this climate of fear of somebody who has been painted as an other, and painted it as an other in a way that distances them so much from you that it's hard to relate to them and to see them as a human and to act out of your humanity towards them.
In the meetings that you're attending and the conversations that you are overhearing, are there some solutions that are being considered as most promising?
The U.S. has historically been able to take in more refugees based on sort of the political will of the people in power and also of their constituents. So when there is political will here to let more folks into the U.S., then it happens. And there are a lot of organizations and communities that are committed to making an impact, a positive impact on this humanitarian crisis, and are working to better inform and lobby their politicians to see this as a humanitarian issue and not to constantly flip it into the national security frame. I think there's a lot of coalition building going on, a lot of people who are talking to one another and working together on this issue. And so that sort of solidarity, I think, is one place that there's hope, because we know that it's politically possible. It's completely possible to allow more refugees into this country. But I think, we have to do a lot of work to create that political will to move it that direction.
Interfaith Alliance is a member of the Shoulder to Shoulder campaign. Would you talk briefly about who some of the other members of the group are and the priorities for the campaign going forward?
Sure. So, yes, we are so grateful to have Interfaith Alliance as one of our members. We have 31 different religious denominations and organizations that are members of Shoulder to Shoulder. So we have the Union for Reform Judaism represented through the Religious Action Center. We have the Islamic Society of North America. We have the Presbyterian Church, the Methodists, the U.S. Council of Catholic Bishops, Sojourners, an evangelical organization. We have a number of different denominations and organizations that really represent a pretty broad spectrum of Americans who affiliate with these different traditions. Mm-hmm. And, they came together, as you know, back in 2010 to say in a loud voice that anti-Muslim rhetoric and bigotry is a problem for us all. And so it's a problem we're going to all be working together to fight against, to end anti-Muslim bigotry in the U.S. We work both at the national level through these member organizations, helping to make sure that their voices are heard in the public square, saying that this is not okay. This is not a representation of what it means to be a person of faith, and it's not a good representation of America either. It betrays both religious and American values to have such negative rhetoric against Muslims. So we work on the national level in that way, and we speak into the media, we speak into political situations and meet with different folks from the White House and Department of Justice. And so we work at that sort of level, but we also work on the community level. We have 44 different community member organizations throughout the U.S. who are working on this issue in some way, shape, or form. And so we work to provide a platform to network them to one another, to be able to share experiences, to share skills, to invite one another to be part of initiatives. And then we work with them and with clergy members locally to help provide rapid responses when there are crises that happen. And I think one of the really encouraging things we've seen is that sometimes we're not needed to provide those rapid responses because the communities have organized themselves so well that there's already rapid responses going on when a Muslim community is targeted or something in a particular space.
I can almost assure you that there are listeners right now saying to themselves, we'd like to know more about the Shoulder to Shoulder campaign, and I know you can answer the question of how can they do that.
The easiest way is to visit our website, which is www.shouldertoshouldercampaign, all spelled out, .org. And there you can sign up to keep updated through our newsletter, and you can also contact me, the campaign director. My email is listed on the website under the contact page. And so I'd encourage people to reach out to me directly if you'd like to connect with us and you'd like some direction on what that might look like for you and your community.
Catherine Orsborn is director of the Shoulder to Shoulder campaign, doing vitally important work to counter the all too prevalent anti-Muslim sentiment in the U.S. and abroad. Catherine, thank you for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much, Reverend Gaddy. It was wonderful to be with you.